Boomer and Warner in the Morning continues on Sportsnet 960 The Fan. Brought to you by Doug Lacey's Basement Systems. Eliminate the extra cost and discomfort of cold floors and rooms with a chill. Get your crawl space properly sealed and insulated. Text cold to 393939. Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
I hear the train a-coming. It's rolling around a bend. And I ain't seen the sunshine since I don't know when. I'm stuck in Folsom Prison, and time keeps dragging on. But that train keeps a-rolling on down to San Antone.
The artist of the day, the man in black, Johnny Cash, on this date in 1968, played a show at Folsom Prison. They recorded that show near Sacramento, California, in front of 2,000 inmates. They then released it, and it became one of the most famous recordings of his career. And this is that version. We're going to go to a prison. We're going to wind everybody up.
Get them wound up, boys.
Talk about killing a man and watching him die and smoking big cigars.
I bet there's rich folks.
They don't do that anymore. You don't hear about those sorts of things.
Are you sure?
And smoking big cigars.
I don't think so. They frown on that.
I feel like you would hear about it
in
today's age, and you don't miss much.
And what's crazy is looking back at the photos, like, it's not like he's behind protective glass or anything. No, just you guys sit right there.
He's pretty much one of them, isn't he?
Yeah, and they loved him. And what's crazy, the story goes, is Johnny Cash did more than one of these in-prison inmate shows. Merle Haggard saw him do one of these shows and was so inspired upon being released, became a songwriter and a singer himself.
And a model citizen.
Yes, just a terrific person. Speaking of killing men just to watch them die. 7:07, let's get to Stephen Brunt.
Stephen Brunt, brought to you by Glenmore Audi. Audi's revolutionary quattro all-wheel drive system is something you must experience. And you can, today, with a test drive at Glenmore Audi.
Good morning, Stephen. How are you?
Good morning. I love listening to that. The sound of that crowd in that recording. Of the guys in the prison, just that is it is one of the greatest live music recordings ever done.
Yeah, I mean, I think of what was the Elvis? You know, the black leather suit, Elvis live, like that was
the comeback special. Yeah,
yeah.
That was 68 as well.
Yeah, but I
and
mean,
that was him. Yeah, him after all those years of bad movies, and you know, and suddenly kind of looking dangerous and attractive again. Right, that was that was exactly the same year.
Yeah. That, I mean, crazy. Anytime you hear Folsom Prison and it's not the live version, you're just, oh, just turn it off. Just turn it off. Now, I was not here earlier in the week, but people have told me you dangled a bit of a carrot. There was a bit of a, hey, you know, Jays could be something. So finally, Darwin Barney.
Yeah,
signs. What a what a treat.
Yeah, that's what I was talking about. There you go, folks. Woo. And Ezekiel Carrera, too.
So. Zeke, just a bombshell.
Yeah. Yeah. No. I think what I said was that something was cooking, and I think that I think we're not very far away from. And again, I'm not saying this is going to be earth shaking. I'm not sure what it's going to be, but you know, there are a whole bunch of free agent, you know, outfielders floating around, guys who would kind of fit their needs. They need a backup catcher. They need bullpen help, and I think that you're going to hear something about one of those guys probably. But you know, but let's say before the end of next week, okay? That'll give it a little more of a window. But it shouldn't be a surprise to people. They and several other teams have been kind of watching this market unfold. It's pretty obvious what their needs are. They took a big run at Dexter Fowler, and there was only one Dexter Fowler out there, and they didn't get him. So I think what they're going to do is take the money they have left over, which is you know $20 million, maybe almost 25. And probably divide it up among an outfielder, a backup catcher, and a left-handed reliever.
Well, that's boring.
Boring. But it's just kind of, you know, I don't know that there's a trade. I think they've talked trade with a bunch of teams. You know, so the
McCutcheon?
Andrew McCutcheon has been talked about, I think, and there's been some other guys. But, you know, the problem you get into here, and this is where, you know, it's not quite so simple. The teams that want to, are going to trade guys, like the Pirates, say, with Andrew McCutcheon, what they want back are major league ready young players. So, you know, good major league ready young players, not crappy ones. And, you know, the way the Jays kind of where they are kind of organizationally right now is that their best prospects are guys like Rowdy Tellez and Connor Green and Sean Reed Foley. But those guys aren't major league ready. They're a couple of years away, at least a year away. They're not that. So they don't have the prospect capital, which is why they couldn't get in on like a, you know, Chris Sale deal or something. They just don't have the guys right now to trade. The guys, what they do have, say, would be Marcus Stroman. And I know people hate to hear that, but there's somebody you might make a calculation on, a guy like Marcus Stroman, saying he's just about to start making money. And, you know, if you think kind of that his value is maxing out, if you don't necessarily think he's a front of the rotation guy forever, then maybe you would consider dealing Marcus Stroman if you got real value back. You know, if you could make a deal that would help you contend the next year or two. The problem is, though, if you trade Marcus Stroman, you need a pitcher, because they don't have a lot of depth in the starting pitching beyond the guys who played in the major. And they got really lucky last year. They, you know, I think they only went six starters deep the whole year. You know, that's, and one of those guys was Hutchison, who they traded to Pittsburgh. One of those guys was Liriano, who they got back from Pittsburgh. But they had an incredibly good luck with health in their rotation, as opposed to, say, you know, the California Angels last year, who I think used 15 different guys.
Ooh.
And had all five of their opening day guys get hurt. You know, so if you trade, you know, you can't make a trade where you create another opening that you then have to fill somehow. It doesn't work very well. So they're kind of in a spot here where I think they've been in discussions about trades, and that might have brought back somebody sexier like a McCutcheon. But what you would have to give up, either you don't have the pieces to give up because the farm system was depleted to make the deals that were made over the last 2 years. You know, or if you do make that deal, it's just going to hurt you in another way. So, you know, what that kind of leaves you with is the free agent market and the kind of guys who are available. And those guys are Michael Saunders and Brandon Moss and Jose Bautista and Mark Trumbo. And, you know, not stiffs, you know, guys who can play and, you know, guys with different abilities. But that's kind of what you're looking at. And again, I think I've said this a million times on here, I don't think it's going to be Jose Bautista. So somebody from that other list, as an outfielder, plus a backup catcher, plus a left-handed reliever. I think those are the three things they're going to do.
Boone Logan, Chris Iannetta would be nice, those two. Ooh.
Well, that's, you know, Boone Logan, Blevins, you know, Iannetta, Kurt Suzuki, Deonor Navarro still out there. You know, it depends whether you go for offense or defense with that catcher. You know, whether you think that guy has to be an offensive player to give you some flexibility. And you know, that's what we're talking about. And again, if they do that, and again, that's fully what I would expect them to do. The when you talk about this coming season, it doesn't really change what, you know, the fundamental issue this season will be pitching. If their pitching is as good as it was last year, they will contend. You know, if they stay healthy, and again, you assume some guys will progress and some guys will regress. That's just the way it's going to work. But, you know, the strength of the team last year was not that they were murderers row offensively, because for good chunks of the season, they weren't. The strength of the team was that, you know, A, they had really strong starting pitching. B, Osuna was extraordinarily reliable, and then they, you know, bolstered him with Grilly and with Benoit and some other guys and Biagini. And C, they played really good defense. So pitching, defense, you know, that's, if that holds up, then you look at the American League and say, okay, there's, you know, the Red Sox are going to be good. You know, Cleveland's going to be really good. You know, Texas and Houston are both going to be, you know, Houston's going to have a bounce back probably. Texas is good. You know, and then the Jays are there with three or four other teams who will be fighting it out for the wild card spots.
Stephen brought our guest here on Boomer and Warner in the morning. This morning, trading the Canadian Football League, Darian Durant off to Montreal. Are you shocked?
Kind of makes sense, doesn't it? you know, it makes sense from Montreal's point of view that they need to, you know, stabilize the quarterback situation there. You know, whether it makes sense from a Saskatchewan point of view, again, what's the alternative there right now? Am I missing something? Is there somebody there who can play?
They may just be tired of Durant getting injured all the time and are just moving on. And he was due a contract and...
I was going to say they're A, tired of him, and B, they don't want to pay him at a time when they might well conclude that he is declining.
The GM did not win any Grey Cup rings with him in Regina, so there's not that, you know, potential emotional connection to Darian Durant.
He wants to get his own guy.
Yeah, I get it, you know, and I hope he finds him for the sake of the people in Saskatchewan, because it's pretty hard to win without a quarterback in this league.
We got a new stadium. It'll be fine.
You did. That's true, and it'll be full.
Absolutely.
I do get the calculation on both ends, but you know, again, the question would be, you know, who are you going to get? It's tricky, right? Like it's a small league, and you would think that there would be 9 really good quarterbacks out there who could fill those jobs, but. You know,
on the planet, right?
Yeah, exactly, on the planet. But you know, most years it feels more like there's about 6. So that will be the challenge. Would they patch it over with a Ricky Ray for a year, for instance? I don't know. I don't know what Ricky Ray's got left. I don't think a whole lot. You know, I don't think he's ever really bounced back with the shoulder injury.
Yeah, that doesn't feel like a Chris Jones move. Will make his own.
Well, if he's going to pay a veteran, he was just going to do that with Durant, wouldn't
he? He's going to have something up his sleeve. Don't worry, guys. Yeah. It's the Riders.
He's probably got 9 of them just living in Regina right now.
In his basement.
Secretly. Yeah, because it's easy to hide people in Regina.
That's right. Hey, yeah. I was just down in Vegas, and people are talking about Floyd Money Mayweather and Conor McGregor, and is this thing going to happen? And Floyd was on, I saw he was on ESPN the other day talking about it. I mean, no one is better at building hype for himself than Floyd and getting paid for it. I mean, does this happen?
Here's why, you know what? I think it does. And I know people are always kind of aghast when I say that, but there's a logic to this. Right. And, you know, the logic involves money. It has nothing to do with sport, you know, the kind of competitive aspect of it, or whether it'll be any good, because it'll be awful. But here's why it makes sense. Mayweather's 40, right? He doesn't want to do anything without getting paid a huge amount of money, and he doesn't want to take a huge amount of risk. So, I don't think he doesn't have any interest in coming back and fighting Gennady Golovkin or, you know, one of the, you know, guys who would be dangerous for him. He's already fought Canelo Alvarez and beat him, so that's not there. I don't think there's a lot of juice in fighting Pacquiao again, although I guess they could try and do that, but even that would be a little more risky. So he would love an easy night and a big payday. That's what would get him back in the ring. Conor McGregor is especially with Ronda Rousey getting beat and again, stands alone in MMA as the big marquee guy. He has had his ups and downs with UFC, which runs a de facto monopoly in that sport. So he's incredibly marketable, but guys in that sport come and go. They tend to get beaten, and then they bring another guy in. The most money he has ever made, and this is the guy who is the biggest pay-per-view draw in that sport, is $3 or $4 million plus some bonuses. So let's say $5 million. You know, so the genius of UFC as a business is that they don't pay guys what they're really worth, because again, it's a monopoly. So he's sitting there, and Floyd Mayweather said to him, you know, Conor McGregor's going to talk about all this stuff about, you know, we got to split it 50-50 and all of that. But you know what Floyd Mayweather is saying is, I have to make $100 million, which, you know, he made something close to that for Pacquiao, and I will guarantee you $15 million. Which seems grossly unfair on some, you know, in some planet, but that's 5 times more than Conor McGregor has ever made to do anything. So if I'm him, I think about that pretty hard. You go into this fight. Here's what will happen if it happens. Floyd Mayweather will dominate him for every minute of every round, and it'll be really boring. Floyd will not take any chances. He won't get hit. but he probably won't go in and level Conor McGregor, even though I think he probably could if he wanted to. That's assuming, you know, that Floyd Mayweather hasn't gotten really old in the interim, or, you know, isn't living. You know, he's a guy that stays in shape, so it's not like he won't be in shape. So it won't be great spectacle, but it'd sell. And, you know, and the pre-fight, the hype with those two guys working it, you know, both those guys know how to work the mic. It would be, the suckers will line up and buy that thing. Conor McGregor will make more money than he would ever make in UFC. Floyd Mayweather will get another payday to, you know, make the lives of his children more comfortable.
Yeah.
And P.T. Barnum will be right. You know, when something is that logical from a financial point of view, it tends to happen in my experience.
And why are we going to care? Right?
Oh, I've got to watch it. You're watching it for sure.
But everybody's going to watch it.
It's going you're right. It's going to be terrible. This isn't an MMA fight. This just is a boxing.
I know, but you're just hoping for one. Either way, one loose one where it lands.
But that's what.
Whether
it's
on McGregor or.
But wow. That's the one thing Floyd's never had.
It's going to be, you know, and the thing is, even if McGregor gets, you know, quote unquote humiliated, A, he'll be a lot richer, and B, he will be able to say rightly that that's not my sport. You know, like, and if we'd fought under my rules, I would have beat him, which is true.
Yes.
You know, Floyd's not going to work down. You know, Floyd's not going to out grapple the guy. So it doesn't hurt Conor McGregor's brand, you know, or reputation one bit if he loses. So it's kind of perfect, isn't it?
It almost feels like backyard wrestling. You know what I mean? It's like, let's take this guy and that guy, and we're all going to just come and watch the spectacle. And I don't know, there's something very kind of medieval about it.
Sure, but I don't think anybody will get hurt that badly. You know, it'll be better than Muhammad Ali versus Antonio Inoki. Yeah. I can almost guarantee that. Although you know, the other part of that show was Chuck Wepner versus Andre the Giant, and I'm not sure it'll touch that.
Yeah.
Any chance
was awesome.
Does this help his leverage at all with UFC? Like, is there an end game for McGregor to go back to MMA and make more?
Well, you can only make so much with UFC, right? Because again, because there's nowhere else to go, right? You can go fight for Bellator or something, I guess, but doesn't make any difference really. So, but it wouldn't hurt his star power, and you've only got a certain shelf life in that sport, right? Like, who has had a long, long career in UFC? You know, nobody. Right? They come and they go and they get beaten and, you know, then you're done, right? So if I was Conor McGregor or his advisors, I would say, buddy, you know, this is your short moment at the top of the mountain, and, you know, you can go back and fight Nate Diaz a third time for $5 million or $4 million, or we can go and do this for 15. I would do this for 15 if I was him.
And grind to get 20.
Well, yeah, right, exactly. Yeah, you know, push it a bit, right? But he's not going to get parity.
No.
But he doesn't need to get parity.
No, it's still a big win. Yeah. Who cares?
Yeah, so, and, you know, and Floyd's happy. And I say the 6 months leading up to that fight will be, the best thing about this fight will be, like, the press conferences.
Do you think it could be a good thing for boxing?
The problem is it's sort of like Mayweather-Pacquiao. There's no second chapter, right? Yeah. So it's good in that it'll generate a ton of money in one night, but, you know, where do you go from there, right? It's not like it's sustainable. So that's, you know, I think it's kind of a blip. It almost is kind of outside of boxing and outside of MMA. But yeah, as a kind of a, you know, a circus event, it would be tremendous.
It's a complete circus event. You're right.
Yeah.
And like you say, there will be back doors for both guys if they lose.
Sure.
Because for McGregor, this isn't what I do. I did it for the money. And he'll even be upfront about it and tell everybody, I just did this for the money. This is not, boxing's stupid. Not what I do, you'd be a real man.
Yeah, the toughest guy ever.
And if Floyd loses, it's like, well, I'm 40 and I made $100 million anyway, so go
and he's not gonna
pound
lose.
Sand.
No, and like I say, I can't come up with a scenario in which he loses.
If all of these other guys he's fought against over the years have been unable to catch him, how's this guy going to do it?
Correct, but there'll be enough people who will make themselves believe. You know, they'll show clips of Conor McGregor knocking guys out in UFC with one punch, and, you know, and of course he'll talk a great game, and, you know, there'll be enough people who will, you know, the continuing fantasy that somebody is going to shut Floyd Mayweather up, which, you know, still hasn't happened, right? He's 49-0. But people will pay to watch with the, for the possibility of watching some guy lay him out, and it's not going to happen. You know, again, I just don't see any way that could possibly, for all of those reasons, right? He's fought guys who are way better boxers than Conor McGregor. Almost, you know, he's probably fought 35 guys who are way better boxers than Conor McGregor, and he beat them all.
And I'll be entertained and more than happy to pay.
There you go. And you are not alone. You know, you are not alone here. You are not alone in North America. You are not alone on the planet. It would be, there will be many guys, you know, laughing their heads off afterwards and lighting cigars with $100 bills.
Oh, I'm still sour. I got sucked into the last Pacquiao fight.
I told you. You listened to me. What did I tell you? I told you it was going to be terrible and that Mayweather would win.
Yes.
But it doesn't matter.
Well, Pacquiao was hurt too. We got screwed on that as well.
Yeah. So there you go. My prediction is yes. Next fall, this thing will happen.
Nice. Will you go? Will you go?
Can you take us?
I hope so. You know what? I would love to be there for the pre-fight. I really don't care about the fight whatsoever.
Yeah.
But I would love to be around just to watch the gong show take place and to watch all the, you know, the UFC people and the boxing people kind of meet, because they're not the same people.
No, they're
different.
Not. Yeah.
No.
Hey, so we may or may not talk to you next week. Is that what I understand?
You can attempt. Yeah, I will be in. I will be on a desert island with a fishing rod in my hand. So, you know, I'm not sure. Yeah, thank you. I'm not sure about this. The cell service is intermittent there, but please try.
Yeah, we and if we don't get you, you'll be heartbroken. I know, but we'll catch up to you when we do.
And I will sell, I promise, pictures of some sort of fish.
We like pictures.
Very good. Thank you, Stephen.
See you, boys.
Stephen Brunt, brought to you by Glenmore Audi. Audi's revolutionary quattro all-wheel drive system is something you must experience. And you can, today, with a test drive at Glenmore Audi.
You should experience that, because it's very nice.
Oh, I see. I thought you meant the fishing.
That too.
7:27 now in your Friday the 13th. Game day for the Flames taking on the Devils. Devils have, what are they, lost 4 in a row. They lost in overtime in Edmonton last night.
Had a lead in third.
Yeah, they have just 6 road victories. They've won 6 of 24 games away from the Prudential Center. Game time, 7 o'clock. We'll have it for you, of course. Starting with warm-up at 6. Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
Back to Boomer and Warner in the Morning. Brought to you by Doug Lacey's Basement Systems. Eliminate the extra cost and discomfort of cold floors and rooms with a chill. Get your crawl space properly sealed and insulated. Text cold to 393939. Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
Now, I don't blame him because he run and hid, but the meanest thing that he ever did was before he left, he went and named me Sue.
It's a boy named Sue, 735.
Well, he must have thought that it was quite a joke.
Johnny Cash, your artist of the day here on Boomer and Warner in the Morning. Coming up in about 10 minutes' time, we'll have Elliot Friedman, our NHL insider. Some gal would giggle and I'd get not sure what we'll get into, but that's kind of the fun of it. Elliot back for 2017. Good to have him. Hockey game tonight, Flames versus Devils. We'll talk a little bit more about it just after 8 o'clock. The lines, the combos. Brouwer expected to play, at least from us here in the room. Glenn Gullison has not said one way or the other, and Brouwer, for what it's worth, yesterday says, I've been cleared. Gully doesn't like to tinker with a winning lineup.
Yeah, so Ferland's hurt, so that's the tinker.
So
Ferland doesn't skate. Brouwer's cleared to play.
He's not tinkering.
He could tinker.
Pretty simple.
Go ahead, tinker. Don't tinker. What tinker?
I think we should tinker more.
What kind of tinkering do you want to do, right?
Well, I don't know.
Is it tinker time?
Well, you don't want to. I guess maybe not too much, because they're kind of playing all right.
Yeah.
They are tinkering if the lines of practice go through tonight. I'll tell you that.
Because the back line stays, right?
The staging line stays.
Yeah.
But Monahan and Bennett will have new flanks.
Delicious. Sear it on both sides. A little cracked pepper.
Medium rare.
Well, we talked about it yesterday, so obviously they're listening, so that's good.
Good to see.
What were you talking about?
How we can't continue to let Monahan derail Gaudreau.
Is that right?
Gaudreau's been good, Monahan's not.
So it's true.
We said yesterday, put Gaudreau back with Bennett.
And then it puts the stress on finding a winger for that line, because Chiasson can't do it.
No, he cannot.
You wouldn't even be talking about him if Monahan was anything resembling what he's supposed to be.
Correct.
Chase on and that winger would be irrelevant. Now you're stuck going, well, what do I got?
Yeah.
I got to get a whole, everyone going. Pick it up, Monahan. Yeah.
Like you've been going too back with 13. Then.
Well, what's up with that kid?
Which kid?
Sammy.
It's not been as bad as Monahan. I'll say
okay.
That.
All right.
Well, if, whatever.
Second full season.
We'll get into it after 8 o'clock. Very quickly right now, have a chance for you. This is going to be on the fan feedback line for ATB Financial. We've got a pair of tickets to go and see the Calgary Hitmen and Lethbridge Hurricanes this Ooh. Sunday, 4 o'clock start. We're also going to throw in a $20 Sea of Red gift card. So on the text line, Hitman or no Hitman. All right, so all you need to do is text in with your full name.
Hurricanes coming in.
And tell me whether or not this person that I'm about to, the name I'm about to give you, did this person play for the Hitman or not? Hitman or no Hitman? Today's name, Andy Dufresne.
Andy Dufresne?
Did Andy Dufresne ever play for the Calgary Hitman? Hitman or no Hitman? 960-960 on the fan feedback line. Remember, there's a long, rich history. Goes back a long time now.
20-some years.
That's right.
Paradise City coming on the text line.
Okay, no, that's wrong.
Didn't we have...
Text it in. Let us know. We'll have a winner. And Elliot Friedman when we come back. Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
Boomer and Warner in the Morning continues on Sportsnet 960, The Fan. Brought to you by Doug Lacey's Basement Systems. Eliminate the extra cost and discomfort of cold floors and rooms with a chill. Get your crawl space properly sealed and insulated. Text cold to 393939. Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
We've been talking about Jackson ever since the fire went out. I'm going to Jackson. I'm going to mess around. Yeah, I'm going to Jackson. Look out, Jackson Town.
Hotter than a pepper sprout.
We'll go on down to Jackson. Go ahead.
7:47 Friday morning, game day for the Flames. The New Jersey Devils in town. 6 o'clock warm up, 7 o'clock for puck drop at the Dome. Congratulations to Nathan. He was our winner. He's got a pair of tickets to go and see the Hitmen and the Lethbridge Hurricanes on Sunday afternoon, 4 o'clock start, to take on the Lethbridge Hurricanes. The question was in Hitman, No Hitman, did Andy Dufresne play for the Hitmen? And the answer is no Hitman.
Wasn't a Hitman.
Not a Hitman.
But where do I recognize that name then? Because I was
I recognize the name for sure. Recognize the reason. Like, oh, yeah. The reason would be did not play for the Hitman, but did was the character played in Shawshank Redemption. He's the one who kind of shimmied out the sewer pipe.
Blandy,
I'm getting out of here tonight, Red. I'm gonna take the poop pipe to the crap swamp.
Don't know if that was the movie, but
Tim Robbins.
Okay.
In the Shawshank Redemption.
Andy.
Andy Dufresne. Pleased to be welcomed by our next guest. He is our NHL insider. He's Elliot Friedman. Hello, Elliot.
You know, I thought you were going to be leaving Las Vegas like Nicolas Cage did.
That's, you know what, that's on the schedule, though. I will, when it comes to that time, it's like, yeah, let's just go, just sell everything.
Out with a bang.
Down to Vegas and just go to sleep. Just go to sleep. How are you? It's good to talk to you again. I want to start with the Detroit Red Wings.
Wait.
What?
What were you doing in Vegas for so long?
I enjoy Vegas. And in the literal sense, this time I was very sick, so I had diarrhea for 5 days, if you must know.
Oh, great. Well,
so that's what I did for a week in Vegas, if you must know.
I wonder why I showed.
I can see this is why this is such a highly rated show.
That's right.
It is, yeah.
The Detroit Red Wings, what is it, 22 years in a row?
25.
I mean, it's over. This is a...
Season over the end.
They finally scored a power play goal. It was October 19th, the last one.
On the road,
On the road, yeah.
Yeah. That's crazy.
Yeah, it's And, you know, I'll tell you, they were in Toronto over New Year's because they played the Centennial Classic here. And those guys like Zetterberg and Cromwell, man, it weighs on them. It bothers them a lot that they're on that team that's probably going to end the streak. I remember a couple of years ago talking to Zetterberg about it, and somebody said to me, ask him about the Dallas game. And you'll remember there were a couple of years ago, I think it was the lockout year, but I can't remember, where they had to win in Dallas on the last day to extend the streak. And I heard Zetterberg not in that room, and he just said, look, like, we are not losing. I don't care. I don't give a bleep. We are not losing this game. And that streak means a lot to those guys. It means a lot to the front office. And it's tough. I'm curious to see what they're going to do down the stretch. But it weighs on those guys, Dean.
I bet it does. It's funny you mentioned that. I wouldn't have thought of that. I'd immediately go to the Larkins and the other players and wonder why. I guess why is this year looking like it's going to be the year? What's fallen off for them?
Well, you know, I think it catches up to you for one thing. Like, you know, they haven't had a high draft pick in 25 years. They've had a couple, but, you know, and even, you know, they stole Larkin where they got him. Mm-hmm. You know, he was a guy who turned out to be a great pick for them, I think 15th overall. But I do think that, you know, all these years of not drafting high have finally caught up to them. And also, you know, I think it's interesting. Like, I don't think for a second that the game has passed Ken Holland by, but he was always a guy that believed you send prospects to the American League until they're overripe, okay? That was always the Detroit way, and it always worked for them. Now I wonder, in the salary cap era, can you do that anymore? Can you be a team that says you're going to spend 4 years in the American Hockey League? I'm not sure you can. I think the way the cap is set up and the fact that now it's really flattening out, you have to have guys on your entry-level contracts who can be competitive guys for you, or it's very difficult to win.
Yeah.
And I wonder if that's one of the things that Detroit's going to have to look at and change.
You know, and the other thing is, too, is as much credit as they got for keeping those young players in the American Hockey League, it was also because it was a luxury they had because they didn't have a lot of room on their NHL roster. They were very talent-laden, and now all of a sudden, due to retirement or what have you, there is room to play in Detroit, and all of a sudden there's room for an Anthony Mantha, whereas years ago he may not have played.
Well, you know, also, like, you know, Datsyuk is gone, and, you know, it was tough for them the way he left. And Cromwell and Zetterberg, man, those guys have a lot of miles on them, a lot of hard hockey. And, you know, Zetterberg, what we call him in basketball, your favorite sport, Dean, he can still play a half-court game, but full ice at the speed it is, it's tough for him now. And Cromwell, another really good player for a long time, you know, he's banged up. His body, he's given a lot, he's taken a lot. And I think that they're two best players in some ways. They've slowed down, and that has slowed down the team with them. They're going to need a jolt. They're going to need some changes. I think the one thing that if the streak does end this year, and you guys are like me, you think it will, I think it almost unchains the franchise. It allows them to do a reset. They're going into a new building. You know, they've still got the Ilitch family money behind them. I think you'll see the Red Wings do a big reset in terms of, okay, we didn't want to lose the streak. If the streak goes down, we can change the way we do some things. And so in some ways, I think it almost becomes as much of a burden and a curse as it is a good thing. I hope they have patience with Blashill, because I think that guy's a good coach. Everybody, I remember 2 years ago when he was getting out of the American Hockey League and taking over for Babcock, there wasn't a guy who said he was a bad coach. I don't think guys become bad coaches in 2 years. I think that he got them at the end of their cycle, and I hope they allow him to build into the new cycle.
Elliot Friedman, our guest, our NHL insider. What did you make of the Paul Maurice outburst this week in Winnipeg?
First of all, I haven't seen, like I said on air, like, my wife was pissed off at me a couple weeks ago. I haven't seen anybody yell at anyone like my wife yelled at me that day. And normally I give as good as I get, but I just ate it because I knew I was in the wrong. That's what that was like. Like, I was like, well, I actually sent her she actually saw a tweet saying, you know, I hope Elliot's wife isn't watching because he's going to be in trouble again, and she doesn't watch hockey. She hates it.
Yeah.
And she sent me a direct message with that tweet going, what is this? I told her what it was, and she laughed. But you know what? I think the biggest concern I have is he tore a strip off them, and they were still bad. Like, they were still bad.
Yeah.
And that's, I bet, what, and, you know, he swore in the postgame twice. I think that if you're a coach and you're a team, you're sitting there and you're saying, okay, he lost it at them and they didn't get better. I'm very curious to see what Winnipeg Jets team shows up tonight in Arizona.
And it's a little inside. I just that's not Mark Chipman either, to have his coach swearing at postgame. Like, we're maybe micro-analyzing a little bit, but there are bigger questions as to why this team isn't better. And you can point at goaltending and maybe injuries or whatever, but still, at the end of the day, I feel like this team's underperforming.
It is underperforming. There's no question about that. Like I don't worry about the coach losing it at a press conference as long as it deems it's not a regular occurrence. Like, Red played for a guy in Lindy Ruff who could lose it as much as anybody. But, you know, I think there's always a calculation. Like, if that's happening all the time, or you're swearing at the press conference all the time, I don't think you worry about one-offs. I think you look at patterns. And does it happen a lot? As for the team, I completely agree with you. They aren't playing to the level they should be. And the one thing about the goaltending is, look, they just gave Hellebuck 10 out of 12 games. And there were nights he looked brilliant. And there were nights like that night where from the moment you first, like Darren Millar, who used to play goal, was saying in 5 minutes in, they got to get him out of the game because he couldn't catch a puck. He couldn't do anything. He looked so nervous. And, you know, Alain Vigneault has as a line, if my goalie's better than your goalie, I win. If your goalie's better than my goalie, you win. And that's so much of the game. And I just think Winnipeg's goaltending, they're trying to find out if Hellebuck can do it, but they're almost sacrificing this season to try it. And that is the big problem they've got right now.
Does this change the timeline with Trouba? Because they got him on that team-friendly two-year deal. But if they aren't going to be good now, and it would take a serious turnaround to save this season, could we see him in play more or earlier than we might have expected?
I think Trouba is almost always in play, Ryan. I really do. I still think there are teams, like, nobody looks at this two-year deal as a long-term solution. You know, I just think that Winnipeg's thought process hasn't changed. Like, you know, you're going to have to make it worth it to us to do it. And I think at some point in time, somebody's going to. I do. I'm not, you know, they've made their piece, their short-term bridge piece, as you say. And I think eventually this will become something that everybody has to deal with again. And Winnipeg set a price. And as far as they're concerned, this is what the price is. And I think teams know that. I mean, look, like, this is what the price for defensemen is now. And at some point in time, I think, Ryan, somebody will pay it. But I think what this two-year deal did was it got it out of the front pages and put it on the back burner. But I think it's always still there.
Hearing anything new in Colorado? I know just Kings, Avs, rumors kind of kicking around this week.
Bruins, you know, the Bruins are definitely in there. I heard Arizona, but somebody told me no.
Now, are they all Landeskog or is it?
No, it's both guys.
Yeah.
I got to tell you, like Duchesne, you know, he's an interesting guy. Like, you put him with good players. You look at him at the Olympics and especially the World Cup, I thought he played really well. He can play center or wing. I think it's both guys. I heard a rumor Arizona, but that was denied to me. I don't think Arizona is necessarily in that game. you know, I wouldn't be surprised in Winnipeg if they're there. I think there's a lot of teams circling around the Avalanche. And one of the reasons, guys, is not only that, but they feel that Arizona's had really high prices for their rentals. And I think if Colorado's rentals are the, you know, the Aginlas, the John Mitchells, who was a healthy scratch last night, Rene Bork, Fetter Tootin, I'm not sure Colorado's prices are as high. So I think teams are circling around them as much as about the rentals as they are about two big guys. You know, Landeskog's interesting. I think that, you know, there are some teams that are a little down on him right now. And, you know, I just think that that guy, whether it's a change of scenery or what, I think he's got a lot more to give. And I think some teams are wondering, you know, the concussions and stuff, what kind of future this means for him.
What does Montreal do? They've got the easiest theoretical path to a conference final. That division isn't that good, and all the other divisions have a couple, if not more,
except
good teams.
In the first round, they're going to get, like, Philly or something.
Well, I suppose, yeah, they could have a wild card team there. But is this a win-now mode for this club with some blue liners a little older with Carey Price and the weird injury history he's had the last couple of years?
They are in it to win it this year, no question about it. And the one thing about guys tell me about Mark Bergevin is he's in the middle of everything. Like, if there's a trade talk going on, Mark Bergevin's there. And I do think that he's the kind of guy who will try to make his team better. Wouldn't surprise me if he's around this Colorado situation. I know he's been sniffing around Martin Hansel, but he hasn't wanted to pay the price. You know, they're in to win this year. And, you know, Nick talked about Plekanec last week. I'm not sure that's going to be an easy trade to make. And I'm not sure that Michel Therrien necessarily wants him to go. But I do think that you will see Montreal try to do what it takes. I mean, they're going through a really weird period now. They're winning, even though Carey Price is not Carey Price. And, you know, last year we saw how they completely fell apart without him. I think they're a better team this year, obviously, because Price is not playing to his normal superhuman standards, and they're still winning games. So that's a good omen for them, because you know he'll get back to his level.
Man, the Minnesota Wild right now are on... It does not look like they're going to lose any amount of games for any amount of time. They just...
Is it Boudreau, or did he fall into that?
Boudreau... I think it's something to do with Boudreau. Like, he'll let you, like, Yo is a very more conservative guy. Boudreau isn't. But they had a lot of issues last year. I don't think that was a very good room. I think there were a lot of guys who were unhappy. I think they battled with the coaching staff. I think Boudreau is a bit more positive guy. And I think also, like, Scott Stevens goes in there. And, you know, Scott Stevens is the kind of guy who's like, you know, don't BS me. And I think players kind of appreciate that. They handle that. But also, you know what, like, some of their young, like, Brodin was not very good last year. Like, I don't know if there's a player in the league who's changed his opinion of him, whose opinion has been changed more this year than Jonas Brodin. Last year, he was, like, in a trade rumor every week, guys. I do know, I'm pretty sure, well, I'm not 100% sure of the team, but I'm pretty sure that last, in the offseason, there was one team that was trying to get Trouba, and they were trying to work out a three-way deal, and Brodin was the guy who was going to be involved. Like, Trouba was going to go one way, Brodin was going to go to Winnipeg, I think, and this other team was going to send something to Minnesota so they could get Trouba. And I think Winnipeg said, you know what, Brodin, like, he didn't have a great year last year. And now the guy has come totally back, and there's no way Minnesota's trading this guy, at least not during the season. So I think, like, there's a lot of guys that didn't have good years last year that have really bounced back, and Dubnyk is just a stud. Like, everybody rips Edmonton for giving up on Dubnyk. If you'll remember, the goals he was giving up at the end, they were terrible. Kevin Dubnyk admitted he was stubborn, he didn't listen, and to Minnesota's benefit, he said, I'd better save my career. So he did, and he's carrying that team. But I just think the over, like, last year I heard that the players in Yo battled, and I think a lot of it was as much the players' fault as it was Yo's fault, but that's just gone away this season. I think that's really eased everybody's mind.
And I guess before we let you go, because we've kept you long enough, anything else as we head into the weekend on your mind?
I think the trade market, like the teams are meeting with their scouting staffs now, right? You do your amateur meetings and your pro meetings, and I think it's going to start to pick up. You know, Philadelphia's got Mark Streit coming off of IR. They're going to have to do something. They simply have no room. So I don't know how they're not going to make a move of some kind to get their team going again. I wonder if it's going to be a guy like Lawton. I wonder if he could be someone they try and move. But they really have to do something to get to ease up their cap consideration. So they're going to be, a team to watch, guys, for sure.
Thank you, Elliot. So what did you do to get your wife so mad at you before we let you go?
Oh, dear.
Yeah, I better not tell that story.
Well, you
can, but I was at fault. I will freely admit that. I was totally at fault.
Yeah. Give us something. Just
30
little,
seconds, real quick.
Just kind of give us an idea.
No. If I tell that, like, if somebody tweets that, like, I learned on Wednesday night that that people send her tweets when I get mentioned or she gets mentioned on Twitter. If anybody tweets anything out about this and it somehow ends up being sent to her, I will be dead. Like, we worked hard enough to get me back on the air. You will be incapable of having me on the air next week.
Yeah. Well, happy wife, happy life. We'll let you go, Elliot. Thanks, man. We'll talk to you Monday.
Have a great weekend, Dean. Great to chat with you again.
Yes, it's a delight. Bye, Elliot.
Bye.
Hey, you tried.
Yeah, as mad as she's ever been.
What are you doing? We finally get him back, and now you're starting
to... Seriously, stirring the pot? Chat with him?
Well, you want to know, right? It's like, so...
Because
he's been married for a long time. Like, what? Okay, so what did you do to get her...
To the extent that we risk losing
him. Just between us guys, she's not listening.
Nobody's... It's just us talking.
Yeah, just, you know... So what was her name? Strippers?
Brass round.
Something showed up in the
Friday the 13th versus the Devils.